touch with you when we throw further functions like this. And also I want to acknowledge Joyce Hutton, the niece of Lil Bobby Hutton, the Black Panther Party. And just so you guys know, in the back there's a few seats in the front, so you guys can, you know, take some of these seats up if you're tired of standing. Next, we're going to have Minister Keith for the Nation of Islam, Mosque 26B, who, you know, has been doing a lot of work on police terrorism, worked with the Acorns case a few months ago, where we, you know, did an interview on the Black Report. You guys can check it out, blackreportradio.com. And also, he is doing a lot of work at Olivet Church every week that he can tell us about in terms of with this Oscar Grant case and some of the organizing on the ground floor.
These words mean in English, peace be unto you. Peace, of course, that quality of life that all seek for. Now, we've been here in this land, those of us that are descendants of people that had been enslaved. And we have learned in that short history that for the last 200 years, you'll find that policing in America finds its beginning with catching escaped slaves. There's a culture that is written into policing that has left every, particularly black male, who is innocent of any wrongdoing, growing with a fear of what can happen if he just drives by, walks by, or stands near a law enforcement officer from any agency. And so if you were to examine even our children, I'll never forget one day telling a joke in the presence of one of my high school students. I was joking with him. A law enforcement vehicle was parked on Foothill, and we were walking by a parked vehicle. And I said to the brother, "Brother, look, they're here for you." And this young man took off running full speed up the sidewalk. Now, he hadn't done any wrong that I'm aware of. All we saw was a parked vehicle. Literally, I had to chase him down to let him know that I was telling a little joke. But the reality is that our community has been terrorized by these forces for so long that knowingly or unknowingly, we are victimized by our own fear of what law enforcement is. This is why we acknowledge and respect and in fact love the courage that the Panther Party demonstrated right here in Oakland. Whenever you find black people willing to stand up in the face of police guns, that's a sign of courage that has to be admired. In fact, when you read it scripturally, it's really divine. So whenever you find those that are willing to stand against the forces of wrong, you're looking at a divine force operating among a people. And that kind of force must always be applauded. So since we're here in West Oakland, where our party finds its beginning, can we give those soldiers that have stood and continue to stand for us a well-deserved round of applause? Let me say, as we're confronting this case, the outrage that has broken out because there was videotape footage of what happens every day. And I've learned, even in fighting this particular issue, that though we may be somewhat versed on the matter here in the Bay Area, that the expression of what's going on does not break out of the Bay Area. CNN is not your friend. ABC, NBC, and others are not our friends. So those that have footage that you're capturing, be it from the abuse cases that you've seen, or even from these types of meetings where the truth is being revealed, remember Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we now have a community of people all over the country that are incarcerated by our ignorance. There are many who could not believe their eyes when they watched what happened to Oscar Grant. A few days ago, I'm in Los Angeles. I go there for a funeral. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is there for a funeral of one of his friends. And when we arrive there, I open up the Los Angeles Times in my mother's home. I open up this newspaper to discover that a young brother was beaten, had his jaw split open and broken in a police department while handcuffed, laying on the ground. And when the officers kicked him in the face and stood up to witness the damage they'd done to this young brother in Hawthorne, California, they high-fived one another. Good going, guys. Well, 2 years later, the city of Hawthorne loses a $1 million lawsuit. Now, like in the murder of our brother Oscar, you don't find police reports where they're telling on themselves. Now, here you have those that are paid. I want to quote something Mayor Dellums recited in his State of the City address. Nearly quote, paraphrase. He said that when a law enforcement officer shoots you, that's the public bullet. That's your bullet. You paid for it. Your tax dollars are what put the bullets in his gun. So when he made reference to the part they're not reporting in the news to revamping a police review board, it has to be revamped because there's a board that's there that has no teeth. We need warriors on a review board who are not afraid and who don't have any personal relationship to those in law enforcement. As our sister was speaking about the parole boards being filled with police officers and DAs, well, why would they be on the parole board when there are so many of those that are there because of the false reports that are coming from the police department? The reason we didn't hear from those officers after the shooting of Oscar Grant because they needed to take the time to meet with their lawyers to fix their lives. Just be straight about it. So when Mr. Mezzali did not speak to BART Police, the chief of BART Police had the authority to charge him with insubordination and put him in some disciplinary action as an act of law enforcement authority over their officers. Did Chief DG do this? I asked him face to face. His answer was no. And he dropped his head knowing that the actions that he himself has been involved with is the ongoing act of cover-up of police corruption. At the same time, they're covering up at BART. OPD had to fire 11 officers for making false reports in the root of the case around the rioters here in West Oakland, as they made false report after false report, false arrest after false arrest. Well, if you're paid to tell the truth, you know, they consider police officers legal witnesses. Their words alleged to carry greater weight in a court than does yours. But now, here are those with authority who are trained liars. How do you make a report that doesn't admit to your wrong? How do you make a report that carries the party line so that we can make sure we find the best case to make a conviction? So now, here are law enforcement officers that live by the motto, if at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. And if you tell the lie long enough, maybe somebody would believe it. And so, sisters and brothers, our organizing efforts are to do several things. We've got to expose as thoroughly as we can how corrupt law enforcement has become. What has been called law enforcement is guilty as those that have been charged. When the police union at BART came to defense of Mr. Mezzali, We made a statement at the BART Board of Directors meeting that if the union wants to protect Meserly, then the union is as guilty as Meserly. There's a problem we have politically with these unions. We had a meeting about what happened at Acorn with Operation Nutcracker. And I'll tell you what Attorney General Brown told us face to face. When he talked about Nutcracker and using the language describing our young people as urban terrorists engaging in asymmetrical warfare, we knew that he was pandering to the federal government to get funds from Homeland Security to finance these multi-agency operations to incarcerate our young by criminalizing them at a glance. Now, when he said this to us, we shamed him. We said, Mr. Brown, you said in a Wall Street Journal article that when you see an incarceration binge, it's not because of an increase of crime. You, Mr. Brown, who used to call yourself a liberal, that many used to call Governor Moonbeam, some of you might remember that. They said that because he's supposed to be so kind and liberal to suffering people. That was his reputation. It was so strong that KPFA gave him a show. Yeah. He had that kind of reputation. Y'all with me now?
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah.
We told him that what you have done is to encourage the unjust incarceration of people on the basis of a glance and the characterization of them as terrorists. He said, well, you know there's powers behind this. And I want to run for governor. And he said, if you can bring a force greater than the force that's driving this criminalization effort. He said in that Wall Street Journal article that when capitalism crumbles, I'm paraphrasing, from August of 1999, you find it. He said when capitalism, did I say crapitalism?
Same thing.
Said that capitalism is on the decline, you'll find incarceration binges happen. And that's because it ensures cheap labor again. The new prison system is the new slave system. We're very clear on that. And what we saw with Oscar and his friends was an approach from law enforcement that presupposes that urban males particularly are criminals. They were treated like criminals on the BART train. Now, let me understand this. A fight breaks out on a BART train in San Francisco, where on New Year's, there's an annual riot in San Francisco. Now, I've seen some footage of them on television. I don't see too many black faces in the annual riot in San Francisco on New Year's Eve. You all with me now? So now, this train makes it through three stops. West Oakland, downtown, Lake Mary, and they decide at Fruitvale that they would start pulling people off the train. And when they pull them off the train, there's not a fight engaged. So as Brother Jack has said, that their reports was full of lies, that they were frightened about a fight that wasn't in existence. Now, it's one thing if you're stepping in the middle of a scuffle. You use the force necessary to put down the scuffle that you stepped into the middle of. You've not heard a single report of a single blow striking a single officer. Now, I work with students, and every now and then they get into a fight. And I know stepping in, if I have to step in, that there's a chance that I could catch a blow from either side. Now, of course, we deal with our children. They love us and they would want to strike us. But I know that if I step into a fight, that's a risk that I take. And if I got a badge and a gun, I'm paid to take that risk. So it ought not to be I'm so frightened in Fruitvale on New Year's Eve, pulling people off a train that I'm brutalizing and laying on the ground, none of whom have been, they've not been charged with anything. But they weren't charged with anything, so they didn't do nothing. How many people do you know that are fighting that the police detain that don't get arrested?
So they didn't do nothing. They were brutalized by those that pulled them off the train. As soon as they were made to lay on the ground, the police were wrong. As soon as they were called the names, I'm sure that they were called, the police were wrong. As soon as they were segregated from the rest of the train when they had not found or had knowledge of who an actual fighter was, the police were wrong. They were pulled off the train because they were black and brown and young on a BART train on New Year's Eve. So that we're clear with this. One of the problems in our organizing is that when these things happen, we sometimes think that these are individual issues, a one-time thing. Well, of course, because of the videotape footage of the many who took it on the telephone, the police never released what evidence they had. BART never released what evidence they had. And the more evidence came from people, the more BART was caught up in lies. So at first, they seemed to approach it as though Meserly was the only officer involved with anything wrong. As though Tony Peroni, don't forget his name, he's the primary witness for Meserly. He's the one that told, according to the defense statement, the investigators that Meserly was reaching for his taser. That's Tony Peroni, the one who punched Oscar in the face before he hit the ground. The one that was holding him down by the neck and head with his foot while he was on the ground. If he thought that Meserly were grabbing a taser will electrocute everybody touching the person that gets shot by it. So he doesn't hold a man down while his partner tasers him because he'd be tasered. Y'all with me now? Now, I don't know whether Meserly is left-handed or right-handed, but the taser is on his weak side, and the gun is on his strong hand.
That's right.
This man is a trained shooter. If he's going to pull his gun, I'm left-handed. He pulls it. If he's going to pull his taser, he's got to turn his shoulders, turn his body, disengage it, pull it out, point it, and a taser has lights on it. It's an electrical device, right? It lights up so he knows it's ready to be fired. Now, if he had done any of those things, he'd have known right off the top with the training that they alleged to have. I say alleged because in the case of BART, there's not an academy. A BART officer goes to Laney College or Contra Costa or Chabot College, and then he goes and takes a shooting class and they give him a certificate. Then he re-ups that certificate every now and then to make sure. They told us they just got the tasers a few months ago. So they were just trained in the taser, but even if he was just trained in the taser, one thing you know, as long as he's been an officer, he's been trained on that gun. So there's no way that what happened could have been considered an accident. And if it was, that's why we challenged the police chief. I have brothers that do security with us. You all know that sometimes, right? And if the brother's in a conflict, that brother has to tell me what happened. If he does not tell me what happened, then there's a disciplinary action for his failure to speak. In military language, you call it insubordination. You can't shoot somebody and don't talk about it. I forgot to write my report. And you can't tell me that you got 3-4 days to figure out you had a new baby, his girlfriend did. Now, if you shot somebody, did they give you 3-4 days? Sister, if you shot somebody and had the baby, you would have the baby in a prison hospital. You'd be in Highland under sheriff's lock and key. You give birth and they take you back to Santa Rita and send the baby somewhere else. Is that what they would do?
Yeah.
Now, I never heard of them making provision for the baby daddy. They don't make any provisions for the baby daddy in a murder. You the baby daddy, write the baby, send them a picture. If mama wants to visit, the baby can see you. You don't have a provision for a murderer that says that you can not come in and speak. And when he came in with an attorney and with the union. Now, even though he quit his job, the reality is the union hired the attorney before he quit so he could take advantage of the financial power of the union. So he hires a high-powered attorney, one that was hired for Barry Bonds. So you know you're dealing with a top-dollar attorney from a man who don't have top dollar to pay for an attorney. When they put the $3 million bail on him, that man don't have the money to bail out. Maybe his parents do. But he don't tend to have that kind of money to bail out from a police officer's pay. So you have now a system. The same system that pushed Jerry Brown to do Nutcracker. The police union. The prison guard union. The police officer unions from all over the country. This is why we say we have to now address policy. When we learned of the Peace Officers Bill of Rights, I had never heard of that. I didn't know they could shoot you and don't have to say nothing. I didn't know they could shoot you and their records are sealed. So you can't see that this public servant whose bullets you paid for, whose gun you paid for, can utilize that gun and those bullets in any way that he or she sees fit and not have to answer to you. And so our organizing efforts are the revamped system. As long as we're in it, we don't want it killing us. Now, it's a system that happens to be collapsing, that's true. But as long as we're in it, we want to be able to derive from it at least what they've written in their Declaration of Independence and things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, none of which we are afforded when we have to live in fear of those that are supposed to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we see this as our time. These instances are happening all over the country. They don't repeat them in other parts of the country because if they knew in Savannah, Georgia, sister, what was happening in Oakland, California, you might have a few more to stand with you. And if they knew in Chicago what was happening in Savannah, then you might have a few more to stand with you. These news networks are consciously restricting the news to keep the people ignorant. So part of the process of the town hall is to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. I appreciate what our sister gave from Cop Watch. I had to watch some cops the other day. Pulled over our little sister, and when they saw me watch, they called several backup officers. They brought a sergeant out. Never seen a policeman so polite in my life. Because they knew they had just gotten into something. So we have to be watchful but trained in our watching. And so groups like Cop Watch and the town hall process here and the town hall process there never think, let me say this, that we're competing with one another.
Well, here, sir.
This is not about who got your name in the paper. This is not about whose picture was there. This is about protecting the lives of our people. And if this is ever reduced to who got the most quotes, trust me, these kind of quotes can get you killed. So these are not the kind of things you just look for. No one is looking for press. We're looking for justice. No matter how we get it, we're looking for justice. So we're encouraged by the spirit of those that are willing to stand up. We just got to take the time to communicate one with another so we can draw the best and the brightest ideas to a table that we can organize them effectively as a community. And to do that, it really doesn't matter whether you're black, red, brown, yellow, or white. It doesn't matter if you're young, old, Christian, Muslim, don't know what to call yourself. That's all fine. The reality is we want justice, and justice has no label of class or color or creed. Are we together now?
Yes,
we got to be clear on that. Injustice is the enemy. Let us not, I saw a piece, and I close with this, where someone in an internet article was making the declaration that the Oscar Grant movement is anti-Semitic. I don't know if that's because we're standing here
or because those who see justice being needed for Oscar Grant and his family are the same, in some cases, those who see the need for justice in Palestine. We do need justice in Palestine. But there are those who have wrapped world history in their hand. So when it comes out of CNN or wherever it came from, the only thing that ran across the national news was that a few windows were broken. They didn't run it across the national news that a brother was killed in cold blood. They didn't run across the national news that the district attorney, Tom Orloff, did nothing. They didn't run across the national news that a group went up into Tom Orloff's office to demand that he do something. Even though we don't trust fully what he's going to do, he's paid to do something. He told us when we called him, "I don't need to meet with you people." I mean, he didn't use those words. Black folk know what that means. When they say "you people." He was speaking to councilperson Desley Brooks. We were sitting in the room. She called and asked for the meeting on Tuesday, the day before the BART rally. We held a press conference on the steps of the Alameda County Courthouse as a result of that telephone call. When she called and asked for a meeting, his first answer was no. His next answer was, "Well, I'll meet three of you." But there were 15 to 20 of us sitting in the room. And as we stated during the town hall process, we're not an organization. There's no president. There's no leader. There's no spokesman. So you're going to have to meet us all. His answer was no. Now, there were 15 to 20 of us at that point. We said, "Fine, we'll be there tomorrow." We had the press conference with about 100 people on the steps. Since he didn't want to meet with 15, we took 100 up to his office. He began sending lieutenants out to figure out who this was, and what he found out was there were so many people from so many walks of life, they really couldn't deny the meeting. Now that became the power of our unity. They called for Supervisor Keith Carson to see if he could get us to sit down and shut up and leave. And the answer was no, he couldn't. Well, why couldn't he? Because we voted for him too. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So Supervisor Carson, come on over here. Before you see the DA, come on over here. He said, "Yes, sir." We said, "Supervisor Carson, he needs to see us all." He said, "Well, give me my marching orders." "Those are your marching orders." He walked in with the Reverend J. Alfred Smith. They had to respect their stature in the community as seniors and elected officials. They went in and came out, and he said, "Well, he's willing to meet seven of you." Yesterday you said none. Then you said three. Now there's 100, you say seven. So we went back in, and I went with Pastor Smith and Keith Carson back into the office. And they were attempting to say, "Well, you know, if you can get seven representatives, we don't have space." I said, "Well, you can find some space." Is how I answered it. He said, "We don't have space. Find space. We'll meet you there. It doesn't have to be right now. There's a room somewhere in this courthouse that can fit this 50 to 100 people in your lobby." "But I can." "You can. We'll wait." So he submitted. Let the whole delegation in. We kept the press cameras out except for our own. Looked like everybody in that room. That was surprising. Everybody in that room had a cell phone camera. Well, there was 20 cameras on. We thought we kept the press out. Except for Davey D, we let him in. So now this thing is running, and that's when we're able to question the DA, and that's when the DA tells us that there's a relationship between law enforcement and the district attorney's office. He didn't identify it specifically. I asked him specifically, is there different protocol when there's a law enforcement officer involved in a homicide and from anybody else? His answer was yes. I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Answer, to give them time to prepare their defense." Now, do they give you time? Would they give me time?
No, sir.
We don't get no time to prepare a defense. So now right off the top, we knew that Orlov had to go.
That's right.
Then we said to him, we asked him, when are you going to do something? He said, well, I'm investigating, and we'll be able to make a charge in about 2 weeks. Let me get this straight. You got a videotape, several of them, and you need 2 weeks to make a charge. So I want to make sure my case is complete. You don't give me a chance to complete your case. If I shoot somebody, you figure it out while I'm behind bars. Is that how they do it? If you shot somebody, he'd make the case while we were behind bars. We said, well, Mr. Orlov, you need to tell the community what you're doing. Because the community feels that you're doing nothing. He told us, you do it. That's what he told us. Councilperson Brooks said, wait a minute. Tom, you are an elected official. The next day, the mayor of Oakland told him that what you're doing is a threat to public safety and forced him into a press conference where he said the same thing in that press conference we told him to say, where he told us we should say. Well, the bottom line is Tom Orlov does not want to prosecute a police officer. Is there proof? Yes, there is. Let me just wrap this real quick. They had a police review board meeting in the city of Oakland as public record on last week. And that review board meeting revealed that from 2004 to 2008, that there were 45 officer-involved shootings by OPD in the city of Oakland. And out of those 45 officer-involved shootings by OPD in the city of Oakland, that 36 of the victims of those shootings were black males. 7 of the victims of those shootings were Latino males. 1 of the victims of those shootings was an Asian male. And 1 of the victims of those shootings was an African or a black female. Did you notice no white people got shot? Every shooting was called justified. Now, on January the 1st of 2008, a brother coming out of BART, I forget which station. Was it Hayward? He was shot by OPD. Andrew Moffitt was shot multiple times in the back. Now, that was called a justified shoot. The question was in the review board pamphlet. It's public record, go to City Hall and get it. The question was asked, had any officer in those 4 years ever been disciplined? The answer was no. Let me get this straight. You got cities that are paying millions of dollars, millions of dollars, including Oakland, for police brutality cases, and not a single officer gets any discipline? You see something wrong in this picture, right? So not only are they not prosecuted, they're not even slapped on the hand. Johnny, that was not nice. You should not have shot those people. They're not slapped on the hand. Nothing. So that's all to say that obviously the system is broke. And it becomes now our job to make the world know how broken it is. Because until there's an acknowledgement how broken it is, then there'll be no even consideration for fixing it. I'll close with this. On that Wednesday night, when the protests were out in front of City Hall, the mayor came in broken. He was disturbed. Fine. And he told a news camera, and I was standing there. He said that he's going to ask that his officers, investigate this issue as a homicide to the press. The reporter just about turned the camera off. We can't let the world hear you say that, Mr. Mayor. You can't call this a homicide. He said, no, that's what it is. It's a homicide. And even in truth, by definition, the term homicide doesn't declare a cause. The term homicide only means a person has been killed. That's why if you strike somebody with your car, it's an accident and they die, they call it vehicular what? Homicide. Manslaughter would be a lesser charge, but it is a homicide. Just to hear the mayor use the word homicide, that went on press blackout. Wasn't that he didn't say it, he said it, but it did not meet the news line that they wanted to present that would demonstrate the loss of life of our brother Oscar was a murder. Now, they only have to go to court to determine what degree of murder it is. But it is, in fact, a murder. Now, stop with this one. If you are alleged to be a member of a gang and you murder somebody, they put all sorts of stipulations on that murder. And there is no gang stronger in the country than the police. There's no gang stronger than the police. With the badge of law and the taxpayers' dollars financing that shoe, then the police should be held to a higher standard than anyone else. I serve in the ministry for Minister Farrakhan. You all know that. That means I'm held to a standard. So if I came in here pinching on women's butts, which I don't do, but if that's what I did, I'm held to a standard. You have a right to expect more from me than you expect from someone in some club party and getting this boogie on. If I was at the club party and getting my boogie on and I came and dropped that drag on you, that's not a surprise. But if I walk around and tell you that I'm attempting to be a responsible person and I represent something of good, right, and just, then you have a right to hold me accountable. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What a way you have to hold me accountable, and I'm asking you to. I demand that you do. I got to live up to a standard. I told you that I'm trying to live a righteous life. So if you catch me smoking, slap me in the face.
That's right.
Brother, you tripping. Slap me in the reality. Fine, I deserve that. When they put on that badge and strap on that gun, you have a right to hold them to a standard because you paid their salary, you paid for the bullets, you paid for the uniform, you paid for the badge, you paid for the training, you paid for the behavior. You have a right that the law enforcement officer should not cuss you out, pull you out of a train, and shoot you in cold blood. So, sisters and brothers, our organizing effort has got to increase and make known to the world what's happening here in Oakland, but of course, not only what's here, but what's happening in Savannah, Georgia, what's happening in Chicago, what's happening in New York. We owe it to one another to make sure we're well informed and we organize around the principles of truth. Thank you.